Sports Radio 99 The Game and the Odyssey app. It's the Dopey Millennial Show on a Thursday. Happy New Year to all of you out there. We just got some Falcons news pretty recently. The Falcons have placed Mike Hughes on injured reserve, and they brought up Khalid Kareem to the active roster. Yeah, I'd say so after Monday night. If there was the one thing, we talked earlier about what Monday night proved for the Falcons. Yeah, if it proved anything, it's that Khalid Kareem deserves a real shot to be a part of this roster.
He's had a big month, man. He's had a big last 30 days. He had
really
a baby
has.
To start the first part of December, and
okay.
Now he's on the active roster to end the month.
Yeah.
Big month.
I mean, good things happen when you play good football, and that is definitely what Khalid Kareem did on Monday night, and good for him, man. Like you see some of those stories that are out there that you just want to see a guy perform, you know, just get the best, I guess, because of a good story. And Khalid Kareem definitely has been one of those. Really unfortunate, though, to see Mike Hughes hit injured reserve and, you know, the injury side of all of those things. Let's check in on the college football playoff. You've got out at the Rose Bowl right now, Alabama and Indiana. It looked like Fernando Mendoza was dealing with some headset issues as to what led to Indiana not being able to have a successful drive. They are able to get the field goal, though. So early in the second quarter, Indiana is up on Alabama 3-0. Of course, a team not in the college football playoffs, but I found them interesting to discuss right now because there is a ton of movement going on with the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. So I thought we'd go out to the WadeFord.com hotline, bring in one of the hosts of Locked On Georgia Tech, Jarvis Davis. Jarvis, how you doing on this Thursday, man?
I'm doing good, buddy, man. How are you?
I am great. I know when it comes to the Yellow Jackets, obviously, as I mentioned, you know, a team that when they were 8-0 this season thought, man, they have got to have some pretty legitimate hopes for the college football playoffs. Obviously, the way that the rest of their regular season went prevented that from happening as they miss out on the ACC championship game. They do get to play in the Pop-Tarts Bowl last week and came up short against BYU, something we'll get into in just a bit. But Jarvis, I just want to ask you, kind of from a 30,000-foot view look of this season, after starting 8-0, where they ended up finishing, do you see this season as a disappointment for Georgia Tech?
I think if you ask me the way you start the question with the 30,000-foot view, no, it's not a failure. But when you look at – when you actually get into something and you start to recognize what the opportunities that you have and that's in front of you, and you don't reach those opportunities and you don't take advantage of those opportunities once they come in front of you, i.e. the Pitt game and Bobby Dodd last game for Haynes King as a senior, you know, and being able to – play your way into the ACC championship game with an opportunity to get into the college football playoff, yeah, I have to change that. I have to say it's not a disappointment, but, man, you know, you had a good season, you win 9 games, and but you have to look at it from a standpoint of and say, yeah, we missed the boat on that one. And because that's not – when you have an opportunity to get into the ACC championship game and then – get into college ball playoff, that's things that you have to take advantage of because there's no guarantee that you can get back to it with all of the movement and with NIL, transfer portal, all those things at play. You just don't know what type of team you might be able to field the following year.
Yeah, it definitely seems just this day and age of college football that is so true. Jarvis, I feel like, too, when it comes to the season for Tech, it's one of those, if you had told people beforehand, hey, they're going to go 9-4 this season, you'd be like, oh, okay. And yet, by the time you get to the end of December and you're like, oh yeah, they went 9-4. Oh, okay. That doesn't quite feel the same. When it comes to the Pop-Tarts Bowl, an opportunity for Georgia Tech to finish the season on a high note, win 10 games, feels like the discussion could have been very different if you, especially a BYU team that also was very close to making the college football playoff. But that game goes very similar to the season where start off strong and then BYU able to get back in. How did you see Georgia Tech's flaws exposed in their last game?
I think that, I have to start on the defense side of football, Caleb, because that's just how I get down. When you look at not being able to put any real pressure on Bear Bachmeyer, Blake Gideon was trying to manufacture pressure, but Bear was just sitting back there like, oh, okay, you blitzing off the edge with your corner. Oh, yeah, I'm about to throw exactly where you just came from. It was just so methodical and surgical, I would say, with the way he was throwing the football all around. And based off of what I've seen from Bear, he's not necessarily the Peyton Manning or Tom Brady's of the world when you have guys just knowing exactly where to go with the football once they see pressure. And I think that has to do with, Blake not necessarily really disguising it, and he kind of made it a little easy for him. You have that aspect of it, and then you also have another aspect of it. They really didn't have any consistent guys coming off the edge to put pressure, just guys that you could just line up and just rush for and just get to the quarterback. They didn't have that, on a consistent basis. So when you combine guys not really being able to get there without sending pressure with guys being a little obvious when he sends pressure, that's how you end up, giving up that lead that you gave up and end up losing that game to the BYU.
Talking with Jarvis Davis on the WadeFord.com hotline. Jarvis, one of the hosts of Locked On Georgia Tech. It feels like the big storyline around this Yellow Jackets team moving into 2026 is the departure of Buster Faulkner, the offensive coordinator who was seen as, kind of this offensive genius that was able to get the most out of this team and out of Haynes King in order to lead them and be successful as they were. He goes down to Florida, but he doesn't go alone. He takes a lot of this Yellow Jackets coaching staff, offensively, I should say, with him, and he takes who a lot of people saw as the next quarterback for Georgia Tech in Aaron Filo. How do you see Georgia Tech responding to losing an offensive coordinator? Obviously still haven't replaced the guy, and having to replace who you thought was going to be your future quarterback in Aaron Filo.
I think Tech has to be aggressive, right? When you think about the incumbent starter walking out of that door, the guy that you paid $1 million just to stay last year because he knew he wasn't going to play. So obviously you invested in that position to then reap the benefits of it for the 2026 season. And now that he's gone, you have to use that same aggressiveness, that same duffel bag full of money that you threw out last year. Yeah, you're going to have to combine that with a couple more dollars to try to get a guy in here with some experience to at least compete for the position, right? Because you can't go into the 2026 season with Graham Knowles, who doesn't have any starts for you, 6'7", 230-pound quarterback that is reportedly, a little bit of a favorite of Chris Winkie. But and a four-star kid, according to 24/7 Sports, and Cole Bergeron out of Louisiana, a true freshman. So there, you just can't have a guy who's been in your system, and was pretty much guaranteed to be the starter for you walk out of that door, and your plan is to have the guys that you just brought in. And Cole Bergeron and a guy that was already on your roster, have those guys battle it out for the starting spot, especially when you got all this financial support at your disposal. I don't think you can just kind of like laissez-faire. But hey, yeah, we're going to go with the guys that we have and the guy we just brought in. No, you can't do it like that. You have to be super aggressive. And I think, and I believe Key will be, because there's a lot of moving parts on this offensive side of the football. Like you mentioned, with the offensive coordinator not being announced yet, I feel like he has who the offensive coordinator is going to be. He just hasn't announced it yet. And because he's starting to put some together, some of the guys who walked out the door as far as running back coach and all that stuff. So I think there is a sense of urgency on the offensive side of the football as far as from a personnel standpoint and from a coaching staff standpoint.
Jarvis, the portal opens tomorrow, and it's, you know, kind of going to be chaos, especially as there's just one portal this year for teams to go after guys and to be making changes. Given that you don't have an offensive coordinator named yet, it feels like there's some uncertainty in that aspect, but there's still, regardless of who your coaches are, you know your positional needs outside of quarterback, which can, you know, get addressed in the portal. What are the other positions for Georgia Tech that you think are just vitally important that they've got to address in the transfer portal?
I think once the season ended, I was real big on the guard positions. Like the guard, center guard. Like I'm just gonna go, you know, guard, center guard. That interior part of your offensive line, there needs to be some competition at that center spot, because I feel like Harrison Moore had a few hiccups in the Pop-Tarts Bowl with some legal procedures or snaps or whatever. So I don't, that doesn't necessarily sit well with me. So I think you need some competition needs to be brought in there. And then you had Joe Fusel at the guard and Keelan Rutledge walk out of the door as well. So those guys are seniors. They've been here for you. Those guys, one of them is going to go on to play into the NFL, Keelan Rutledge. So be on the lookout for him. So you have to replace. We have that type of talent walk out of the door. You have to replace that. So I think from guard, center guard has to be addressed. And then I'm going to go on the other side of the football at the defensive tackle spot. You know, Jordan Vandenberg, Jason Moore, Keila Stone, all those guys are gone, man. You have to replace those guys. So, you know, the edge guys don't matter if your defensive tackles are young and not being disruptive. So I feel like the guard, center guard on the offensive side of the football and the defensive tackle spots, they have to be addressed first, because that's the foundation of any football team. You look at any football team and want to figure out whether or not they're good, take a look at their offensive line and their defensive lines, specifically on the interior part of those lines. Mm-hmm. And they'll tell the tale every single year. So, yeah, I'm sure Brent Key, as a former offensive lineman, he's going to address that position, and he's going to address it aggressively.
That is Jarvis Davis, host of Locked On Georgia Tech. Make sure you give the podcast a listen. Follow Jarvis on social media at JarvisD90. Jarvis, really appreciate you joining us on this New Year Day, and hope you have a happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, man. Anytime, buddy.
All right. On the other side of the break, let's take a second look at all of the headlines of the day and of the week with something I like to call the leftovers. It's the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.